Well, I've mentioned it before frequently, I think, even the value of going back to things that we know and looking at them again. And there's two reasons to do this. The first is that sometimes it confirms that what you already know is right, which is not a bad thing. And then sometimes it gives you an opportunity to see that what you know already is correct, but there are more things to know. So things in the first example, one I frequently use, believe it or not, is the theorem of Pythagoras. A squared plus B squared equals C squared, to figure out the quickest way to walk from one place to another. Do I cut the corner or not? This is very helpful for me. It gives me something to do while I'm walking along. Trying to work out squares in my head is not the easiest thing in the world, but it at least diverts me as I'm walking. That never changes. Every time I go back and look at that, I'm grateful that I learned it, but there's no new nuance. It either works or it doesn't, and it works. There are lots of other things, however, that we know and that we know well. And when we go back to look at them, we see that everything we know well about them is certainly true, but then there's something new that's added on top of it. And to me, this is always one of the most exciting things ever. I really like learning things, and I think many, maybe even most of us, like learning things, especially if they're useful. And learning something new that enhances your experience of what you already know or adds to it is just that much better. And so as I was looking at these texts this week, something struck me that had never struck me before about our gospel lesson. And it really made me happy, because it was something that I hadn't seen there before that I think is actually there. Because frequently I think I've learned something new and it turns out that, well, I was just looking at it the wrong way and it's not really the case. But I think in this case I'm onto something. And for most of us who have spent any time in the church, we are familiar with this parable and then with Jesus' explanation of it. And it is most frequently, or in my case, always, described as this is what happens to various people the first time they encounter the claims of Christ. The first time they are given an opportunity to respond to who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, by moving into a relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. These are their responses. And I think that is absolutely accurate. This is one of the ways to interpret this parable. Jesus makes it very clear that when this first introduction is given, there are several responses, and he goes through them. There's the path, which is where you have things that just lay on the ground and are eaten by birds. I was doing some reading into this to get a better idea of exactly what might be going on here. And what I didn't know is that in that time in Palestine, pretty much every field was surrounded by what we would now call a right-of-way. That you didn't sort of fence off everything you owned and no one could come in. You had a field here and a field there, and the path between was open to anybody who needed to get from one place to another, and that was a convenient way to go. Well, if you've ever been around dirt that's been walked on a lot, you'll know that it becomes very hard. One of my first jobs in one of my first employments was I worked as a groundskeeper at the University of Alberta Hospital. And we were in one of the first things I was given sort of on my own was we discovered what is frequently called a convenience path. And that means that whether there's a road there or not, or a path or a sidewalk, people walk on it. And you have two options. You can put up a fence, which means people then have to step over the fence to do what they're going to do anyway. Or you can just say, this is obviously a convenient path, and turn it into a path. And so I was given a shovel and said, let's dig this out so we can pave it or put rock in or whatever. It was like digging on concrete. I was 16 and weighed about as much as a bad idea. And it took me forever. Paths are hard. If seeds fall on a path like that, they're not going to grow. And that's what Jesus is talking about. One of the other people I read said that there's a good chance that when Jesus decided to tell this parable, he said, look, over there's somebody sowing seed, because it happened fairly often. And when we think about it, it's not so much sort of current farming techniques where you use seed drills and things. And it's really not even most of our gardening, where we very carefully lay out rows and that kind of thing and put seeds exactly where we want them. This is more of the sowing thing, what some of you perhaps have done when you're reseeding grass or something. You just grab a handful, you throw it out. You hope it goes somewhere useful. It can go anywhere. And some of this seed lands on a path where birds come and eat it. That's one of the possibilities. Some of the seed falls on a rocky place, where underlying rock, I think, is how the New Living Translation describes it. And this isn't rock like we have here. where pretty much every field in Saskatchewan is just filled with rocks. No, this is rock underneath the dirt. You might have 4 or 6 inches of dirt, and then you have limestone or something that goes basically to the center of the earth. I mean, it's not like you can take it out and get it out of your way. That's all there is. And so it's shallow, and it's got no place to go. Then there's thorns, because it's really beyond any of us, even with the technology we have now, to look at a piece of dirt and say, oh, there are weed seeds in there that are going to cause problems. We just throw seed out there and we hope. And some of it lands exactly where we want it to on good dirt, and it grows. And it produces tremendously more than the single seed that goes in there. And this is what Jesus is talking about, and what I'd always heard it was, or this parable is about, people who hear this news for the first time, and they respond in one of these four ways. And that is a perfectly accurate and acceptable translation or interpretation of this. But then I started thinking about something. And as I said, I'm not a farmer. My mother was a gardener, so I've been around plants, but I'm not really good at it. But who only sows a field once? Well, no one. You sow your field, you harvest your field, you come back next year, and what do? You sow it again. And this cyclical notion of planting started me thinking, and I thought, well, maybe there's more to this parable than just the initial interaction or that initial introduction of Jesus to people who've never heard him before. Now, maybe this is old news to you, but it was brand new to me, and it struck me in this wonderful way, and I thought, wait a second, this could also be for people like me, and people like many of you, maybe all of you, who have moved into this relationship with God. You know Jesus well. You're familiar with exercising your spiritual gifts. This is not new to you. But is it not possible that God continues to sow, if you will, into our lives? Not that initial reaction, not that initial introduction. That's over and done with. We know Jesus. But do we know everything? Of course not. There are new things for us to learn. There's new things for us to learn in our other relationships. Talk to anyone who's been married for a long time, and they will never tell you that the day we got married, I knew everything about my spouse. They will continue to surprise you, hopefully in delightful ways, probably your entire lives together. Every once in a while, you'll discover something new. It gets less frequent after, 15 or 20 years, but you'll still discover things. I didn't know you liked that kind of music because it had never come up before. Does that mean you weren't paying attention or that you weren't actually in a relationship? Of course not. It was just a new thing to learn. It's the same with God. When we move into this relationship with him, we are in a completely sufficient relationship. There's nothing lacking about our relationship. In the same way that when you get married, once you sign the forms, you are married. There's nothing missing that has to be done to make you actually married. Do you know everything? I know I didn't. When I moved into a faith with God, as I've mentioned many times, it was in my middle 20s. I grew up in the church. I'd heard lots of this stuff forever. But it still didn't mean I knew everything. I still don't know everything. And I had the privilege of spending years in systematic education about the Bible and about God and about theology and all of these things. And I still have things to learn. And some things I don't learn. At least not right away. So what does that mean? Well, if I'm in a bad frame of mind, I will probably tell myself that means I'm a terrible person who just isn't paying enough attention. And whether I'm a terrible person or not is irrelevant to this particular thing. I don't think I am, by the way. We don't need an intervention later. It just means that I didn't learn it then. Is it not possible that God will come to us over and over again with things for us to know about him, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about our own spiritual gifts, about how we live the life that we're called to live? Well, I think it is. And then on the heels of that, do we accept everything the first time we hear it? Or perhaps sometimes, just sometimes, what we hear is snatched away by text as the evil one, by our own unwillingness to hear because it interferes with a temptation we want to give in to. And it's as if it was never there. It's as if a bird came and ate it. It's just gone. Is it not possible that some things we suddenly learn about God or about ourselves, and we are excited about them, and we think they're wonderful, and we want to tell everybody about them, and then suddenly we realize that we haven't really done anything with that. It sprouted up quickly, but then it just disappeared, and we don't always know why. But it was there, and now it's gone. And then sometimes, well, we hear something good that we need to hear, and we're so busy, we're so tied up with other things that it's choked out, as if it were taken over by weeds. Ask anyone who's had small children in their house, whether they come in groups or not. That's a tough time to learn new things. And it's not that you're a bad person, it's that you're a busy person, dealing with diapers and learning how to walk and talk, and potty training and questions. Toddlers can ask, have been tracked to ask 420 questions a day. And we had two of them. That takes up a lot of your time. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if there are new things for you to learn when you have all these other things going on, it's not impossible that you might need to learn them again later. And then sometimes, of course, you learn something and it just hits and sticks and it changes who you are forever. And that's when these things fall on good soil, and that's wonderful. But what struck me about this parable in this reading and this week was that liberality of God, his willingness to just spread the seed everywhere, saying that if it goes everywhere, it has more chances to grow. It has more chances to hit that good soil. And unless this farmer is the only farmer in the history of the world that's planted a field once and never gone back, I think we can look at this parable as saying that it is also for us. That it is also for people who have known Jesus for a long time. But there are new things for us to learn. And I was excited to figure this out or to see this as a possibility for a couple of reasons, not least of which it means I can still learn, and I like learning. But it also means that some of the important things that we need to learn, we're going to get more than one chance at it. It's not that God is going to say, here is this opportunity for you to grow in your relationship with me. You better grab it because it's never coming back. It doesn't work that way. God wants our relationship with him to be as good as it can possibly be. And if he presents these opportunities for us and they're choked out or they're eaten by birds or whatever it might be, that doesn't mean he's going to throw up his hands and say, well, I guess they're never going to learn what it means to be compassionate. No, a gracious God is going to come again at the next season for sowing and planting and do it again. And maybe that's the time we learn. Maybe it'll take another time, and another. I don't know. All I know is that there are things that I have now got settled, or I now understand, that when I think about them now, I realize that, yes, I did encounter this 20 years ago. But it didn't make any sense to me. I didn't understand it. That's one of the things that this text says, that people have this knowledge and they simply don't understand it. I didn't have the context. I didn't have the frame of reference to see what it was and bring it onto myself. That took more time. And so that first sowing, that first planting never took. But God came back the next year and said, hey, here's the seed again. Let's see how it goes this year. And after a certain period of time, it's different for everybody. We do understand what that thing is. And we finally go, aha, this is now growing in good soil. And it's producing so much more than we ever could have imagined. And especially more than we ever thought it would, because the last time we saw that, a bunch of weeds came up and just choked it. It sprang up with lots of enthusiasm, and then it just dried up and blew away. This is just part of what it means to be a human being. That some of us take longer to learn some really important things than others. And I, for one, am tremendously grateful that God doesn't say, I'm going to explain it to you once and you better get it. Because I don't get very many things the first time I hear them. And the older I get, the fewer there are. There are lots of things I need to hear over and over again before I finally understand them and go, oh, that's how that works. It's like learning how to drive a standard, like a manual transmission. You can explain that to somebody in 2 minutes. How long does it take to get good at it? A lot longer than 2 minutes if you're you or me or anyone I've ever heard of. It takes a while. You have to learn it. You have to work with these things. Sometimes the most important things of life, the things that God wants us to do and be, take some time. Lots of people have tried to learn how to drive a stick shift and have quit. Some of them come back later. And they've learned. That's a trivial example. But it's an example of what can happen when we have these things that we're exposed to that we can't take at that time. It doesn't mean that's our only possibility. And I think this parable helps us see that. That God, who gives with an open and generous and gracious hand, doesn't do it only once. And is willing to work with us until we finally figure out what it is that we need. And then we will see that growth that is 100 times more than we could have imagined, or 60 or 30 or whatever it might be. It's a wonderful thing. But if we live our lives thinking that God gives us one chance at everything, I think we're going to miss a lot of second, third, fourth, however far you want to go, chances. Because our God is, if nothing else, a God of multiple chances. A God who loves us all and desires that none perish. This parable reminds us that sowing and planting happens over and over again until the crop that's needed finally sprouts and is harvested. It's not a one-time thing. There's lots of opportunities. Amen.